Welcome to Cheese, Wine, and Christmas, the magical podcast that will help you navigate the crowded world of sentimental holiday specials. Join hosts Brendan Bowes and Deirdre McCarthy as they discuss, critique, and lay bare your favorite Christmas movie tropes. So spike that eggnog and get ready for today's Cheese, Wine, and Christmas.
Okay, so a little bit different for the next two episodes.
Yep, I mean, we're doing 25 of these, so it's not always going to be Deirdre and I watching these at the same time.
So we did this thing where we both, I chose one and Brendan chose one, and we watched them on our own and took notes. Yep. And we have not discussed them yet, and we're going to discuss them here live on the podcast. I will start by saying the one we're doing today is the one Brendan chose.
Hometown Holiday.
Yes. No, Home for the Holidays?
No, it's Hometown Holiday.
Hometown Holiday. See, I didn't even... That's the thing. I couldn't even really remember the title because this is the least memorable movie of all frigging time.
And I think that's going to be the best thing we say about it.
Right. Okay. So first of all, I don't know what other bad show that we saw that was done by the same production company, but definitely one of them was because I recognized the name of it.
Right. Well, so my guess is it's probably Christmas Wedding Planner.
It might have been,
because the pregnant sister's husband is Connor from that movie.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Oh, I knew it was the same person immediately.
I did not spot that. So, yeah. Okay. So, really cheesy graphics for the words and for the... So, I knew. Yep. I was like, okay. Yep. I will say that it opened with a very handsome man singing. And yep. I was like, that doesn't suck. So, we knew he was going to be important. But here's something crazy. I thought he was going to be sort of the main person, yes. And that isn't actually what happened.
No, his plot is kind of the side story.
Yeah. So here are the tropes that I can just rattle off the top of my head before we actually talk about what happened. So there's the big city, small town rivalry.
Combination.
Yeah, well, rivalry. Let's be honest. It's always in these movies.
Yeah,
like,
that's true. Yeah.
The big city people don't like the country people, and the country people don't like the big city people.
And both people are lying to each other.
Right. As if that is something that actually happens in real life. Like, there's some artificial battle between the country mouse and the city mouse, right?
Yep.
So that happened. There's the trying to get ahead in my job, and I just need this one like
event
to happen, and somebody doesn't want the event to happen for no real reason.
In actor training, what's in our way?
Yep.
But they heavy hand it to the point where you get annoyed.
Yep. And there's the sisterly relationship, or the sibling relationships, that's bizarrely close.
Yep.
And not like anything. See, I've noticed that they either are the very best of friends and can't go anywhere without each other, siblings, or they, for no reason at all, hate each other and there's a huge rivalry. Like,
the rift is so massive. Yeah. Or they're, like I told you before we started recording, they might be a different type of relationship.
Right. So I'm going to let you save that comment for the end because I think that'll be funny. All right, so let's go through what actually happens. So we've got a dude singing an amazing song. We find out later it's about his dead wife because,
My first note is the lyrics are going to explain the movie because I think he says, I'm ready to move on.
Yes. So very, very heavy-handed. His little cute son, because we always have to have a cute child that makes things happen behind the scenes.
Yep.
Is recording him.
On his cell phone.
So that's happening in one corner. In another corner are two sisters who are in business together, running a floral business.
Floral shop. And apparently they also take over any party because they handle the flowers.
Right. So if they do the flowers at the party, they are now guests there. So I guess that's a small town thing.
I think it's a small town trope.
Mm-hmm. But
again,
basically
it's the village.
They're at everything. So they do the flowers for a wedding. They're at the wedding. They do flowers for a party. They're at the party. So we also see them on New Year's Eve basically starting their new business together and saying they're both going to be better with men in the future. So neither of them have good like male relationship. So no good boyfriends.
Nope,
so
they both just got out of, I guess, toxic relationships.
Yeah. So we've got the two sisters running the flower shop, and their names are Brendan.
One's Krista, and the other one is Rachel, I think. Ashley.
Okay, so Krista and Ashley, and we're not even sure like which one's going to be the main girl, right? But so which one? This is what I was thinking. I'm like, which one of these girls is going to hook up with singer dude? Because I'm assuming that's the main story, right?
You'd think.
Until.
But before we move on to that, the New Year's party was the most G-rated thing ever.
Yes.
They count down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then everyone just goes, yay, no one kisses or drinks champagne.
So I'm going to make a comment at this point that carries through the entire thing. It's almost as if you took a cast of actors and a story, and then you sedated it.
Yep.
So everything is like a little slower and a little more monotone and... you know, everything's just sort of lame, like pretty much through the whole thing.
I mean, it's
like
they take massive broad strokes.
Yes. Broad, huge brush. Okay. So we got the two sisters, one blonde, one brunette. They're both beautiful. Mm-hmm. Which one of them is going to hook up with singer boy? Well, at the same time, we then meet a young ad, a lawyer.
We go to the West Coast.
Yeah. And it's a lawyer who works for a talent agency, and he's trying to sign.
I guess lawyer is their version of agent.
I know. It was very strange.
This guy does everything?
Yeah. So he works for this, and it's some very generic agency name. What is it? Like Good Talent or Big
Good
Talent?
Good Talent Agency.
Right. Something stupid like that. Of course, he's got a tropey, you know, shallow girlfriend who really just wants him to help her career, doesn't really like him.
For his power.
Right. Two interracial couples in this. I'm just going to throw that out there. Two interracial couples, the one at the wedding.
Oh, right, yes.
And then this lawyer and his girlfriend. I just think it's interesting that every Christmas special that's new has gay couples and interracial couples in it, which I so love, except when it looks so token. But I do love at least
this one. Yeah.
Yeah, but what a, like, on the positive note, what a great change that we're seeing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But anyway, so he's with his shallow girlfriend. And
oh, they make note that, so the video gets posted of the dude singing at the beginning, gets posted on this movie's version of YouTube. And one of the tropes in this movie that I noticed immediately is that there's time doesn't have any sort of meaning.
Yeah, there's no time is no meaning at all.
And
so
in this indiscriminate amount of time, I'm guessing it's a day, it gets 1.1 million views.
I think it was longer than a day, but hard to say.
Okay.
Well, hard to say.
Ignore my note
there. Yeah, but we really don't know. So Wes Gently, what a ridiculous name. Wes Gently is the singer.
Yep, Wes Gently, yeah.
Right, so he's gone viral, and now our other dude, Ryan, who's in LA, is trying to sign him.
Yes.
For a huge, by the way, so much exposition in this movie. You don't even have to think at all, because they'll tell you everything. They'll just say out loud, so I'm trying to sign Wes Gently because his song went viral, the one that was videotaped by his son, and I will then become a partner in the firm.
And he will make so much money, and I will make so much money.
And the contract is for lots and lots of money, and it's a big, big contract, and I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to hand him the contract, and he's going to sign it. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't have to think at all. This is fantastic, right? No thinking required for this movie. So that's basically what's happening. He's going to come and try to get him to sign. Luckily, he's got an in because Wes just happens to live in the town where
his pregnant sister lives.
Right. His pregnant sister with the tropey, goofy husband who means well and is sort of silly and in the background.
Right.
Wearing a Santa hat for most of the movie.
Yeah, he's always wearing flannel with a Santa hat does goofy mannerisms. Who's also Connor from Christmas Wedding Planner.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that. That's how irrelevant he was. But anyway, okay, so Ryan's out there and he's in. They make sure to mention that his suit is $5,000.
$5,000 suit.
oh, I'm wearing a $5,000 suit. And by the way, the suit is perfectly lovely and doesn't look like over the top or out of place at all. Right. But he gets invited to a wedding while he's there. Why not? Yeah. Just come to the wedding. Because guess what? Wes is going to be there.
Yeah.
And he can just go with his sister and her husband, even though he doesn't have an invite and doesn't know the bride and groom, because this is small town America.
This is how we do it here.
This is how we do it here.
Before that scene, there's a quick scene where with the sisters, where the sister is kicking out a dude she just had sex with. Because he's a pilot and has women in every town.
And all those city boys, those terrible city boys.
Right.
So, by the way, we're talking about the florist sisters, not pregnant sister.
Right. And they just, well, not just, but New Year's Eve, they just said they were going to do better with men. And then this scene happens and it's confusing. And
and immediately, so the only reason, well, did you not know why the scene was there? Because one might ask, why is this scene dropped in the middle? Because they've already said they're going to find new men. And so the new men be the two gentlemen? I'll tell you why.
Okay, please do.
Because she had to say the words, I'm all done with city boys. That entire scene was for one line.
Got it.
So that we know now that she is not going to be putting up with any city boys.
Okay, that actually makes the third act makes more sense.
So cut to City Boy coming to sign Wes wearing his $5,000 suit, which Goofy brother-in-law makes him change into his dorky flannel to go to the wedding. So, which of course the florist sisters are at because they did the flowers for the wedding. So they're of course also there.
Right.
Because that's what happens
as
small town America is. Right. Oh, there's hijinks at the wedding because
the sisters play paper, rock, scissor for a bet.
Yeah, so because they can't find new men because all of the men in their town are either related to them or they've already dated.
Right.
So excellent little plot device is they say, okay, the next person who walks through that door that we don't know, somebody has to go talk to them. And then they play rock, paper, scissors, and it turns out it's going to be Ashley, the brunette.
No, it's Krista.
Oh, shoot.
Krista's the brunette.
Krista's the brunette?
Yep.
Oh.
Her picture's not up on IMDb. It's just her name.
Oh,
I know
see.
It's confusing because Ashley in her
has brunette. Okay, yeah. Right. So sorry. So Krista is wins and or loses depending on who walks through the door.
Right.
Well, who walks through the door but Ryan?
Yeah.
Of course.
He walks in, looks confused, feeling uncomfortable because he's in a weird situation wearing a flannel shirt.
Yep. Immediately embarks on trying to get Wes to sign.
Yep.
And Wes, for no reason that is ever made clear through the entire movie, doesn't want to sign.
No, he makes reference that another one of these people are after him.
Mm-hmm.
So,
by the way, he's still like performing and he's got groupies. There are young girls around him all of the time.
Yep.
Beautiful girls. So it's not as if he's not
aware of
his talent or his celebrity or whatever. But he also happens to be a rancher.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That
he runs
plays a big part.
Big ranch. And so he can't be bothered with these Hollywood types trying to get him to signed stuff so we can make millions of dollars. It's the stupidest thing ever.
There's a lot of that, but yeah.
So anyway, they're talking, and of course along comes Krista because she's made a bet, and she asks Ryan to dance, and off they go.
She walks up and just immediately says her name.
Yes.
She says, hello, my name is Krista, whatever the last name
is. Yeah, you were going to ask me my name, right? And then they go off and they dance. And so now he can't sell to Wes, but that's okay because he's kind of digging Krista. They immediately, after three or four dances, decide they're so into each other. He admits he's got a girlfriend, and she admits, what does she admit? Does she admit anything about, she just got out of a bad relationship.
Right.
So they probably shouldn't be doing this, but they're doing it anyway.
Yeah.
That dissolves into them or devolves into them leaving the wedding.
It's some of the weirdest, like most uncomfortable flirting.
Yeah. The worst flirting I've ever seen. And she basically offers to give him a tour of the town. So I guess she's not good friends with the bride and groom because she leaves the wedding.
Right. She leaves her post. Doesn't
she
even tell
her post.
Sister. That.
And then we have the most boring musical montage in the history of movies. It's, of course, the typical time is speeding up. They're getting to know each other, but it's just them walking around to music and pointing at doors and laughing uncomfortably. It ends with them right outside of her home in a beautiful scene under the tree where, you know, they clearly have feelings for each other and they take the obligatory picture.
Oh, yeah, sitting in the chair under a tree.
Yeah, and they take a picture of themselves together. Why? Brendan?
Well, she takes a picture of him, and then he looks at it and is like, it'd be cool if you were in the picture,
ooh,
too.
Ooh.
And then they take an awkward selfie, and that becomes like the MacGuffin of...
Right, well, here's the thing. It gives, you know, she likes the picture, so can I send it to my own phone? So now we know they have each other's phone numbers, and we also know what picture we are going to be subjected to over and over again during the course of the movie whenever they're longing for each other.
Yep.
They're going to be looking at this picture. So meanwhile, there's a side story happening. The other sister...
Oh, wait, before... So I wrote it in big font, big letter, so I have to reference it.
Okay.
At the end of this montage, as they're leaving, they say goodnight.
Ooh, I wrote it's
fucking 2 p.m.
Yeah. Well, I didn't even pick up that mistake. I was probably asleep at that moment. Meanwhile, there's this bizarre side story that her sister, Ashley, has always liked handsome country singer Wes. Because they went to high school together, and even though he ruined her prom dress,
yeah, there's a weird side story.
So he pushed her into a lake. And
He pushed her date into Ashley. Let me use real names. Wes pushed Ashley's prom date into Ashley, which knocked Ashley into a pond.
Mm. And ruined her expensive prom dress. This has kept them from being able to really speak to each other for years, but she adores him and longs for him from afar. So,
it's weird that this specific moment is when they want to...
Yeah, yeah. So they keep introducing that, and she keeps not talking to him and not doing anything about it, and Chris just sort of wants her to. And so now we've got two unrequited... loves, right?
Right.
Luckily, if Keisha were wondering if Ryan's selfish girlfriend side story was gonna like take away from the main story, no worries, because we wrap that up immediately.
Yep.
He flies home
like the next day.
A day early, but nobody says why.
Right.
And walks into his office to find her like basically doing it with some other guy in
the most PG or G-rated manner possible.
Yeah, we see that she's wearing a garter. That's how you know that she's naughty, is because her skirt's ridden up.
And his hand is on her knee.
Yeah.
Totally R-rated.
So a quick breakup, fast and you know, painless.
Because the other dude, Gary, I think his name is, immediately sends her headshot to someone.
Yeah, so she's going to use somebody else now. So Ryan's free. Why that doesn't send him right back into Krista's arms, we don't know. He accidentally pocket dials her, but blows it off. And so that gives us a lot of time to look at them being sad on their own, staring at the picture, right?
And then I think this is where time is relative comes in, because I think the movie says it's now Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so we jump to Thanksgiving. And one of my favorite things is that nobody's having Thanksgiving at their house. They're all having Thanksgiving in some weird restaurant in the middle of town, or
as towns do. Yeah.
So everybody's there, and for no reason whatsoever, except it's hinted that it might be pregnancy hormones. That's the moment that Ryan's pregnant sister decides that, you know, her brother has been done wrong by Wes. And marches over there and demands that he sign the contract or look at the contract or consider the contract or do anything with the contract.
And she becomes sassy very quickly.
Yes, yes. And he, for no real reason, agrees.
Yeah, he's like, okay, if this gets you away from me. So sister calls, puts Ryan on the phone with Wes, and they agree to talk about the contract. Wes invites Ryan back to town, which is how... you know, setting up further exposition.
Further stuff. So Wes is now waiting for Ryan to come back to town, but he's going to teach him a thing or two.
Right.
Right.
And on the other side of the coin, Krista, we learn that Krista is an actor.
A former actor. So another bizarre expository ridden storyline, which means it just gets regurgitated. By the way, the sisters are together all of the time, like in a weird way.
Yeah, they're cuddling together on the couch.
They're like everywhere. They're when the boyfriend storms out, she's on the porch. They're everywhere. Yep. They're so weird. So in the course of, it doesn't even matter when in the movie we found this out because it's so stupid. We find out that Krista was not just an actor in New York. So this is why she hates the city. She's already been to New York and she hates it. She was not only an actor, she was an incredibly successful actor.
Yeah, and she didn't like the fame.
She did not like the fame. So her and Wes both, for some reason, don't want money and fame.
Right.
And so she left her very successful acting career and came home to the small town to do the flower business. But she's feeling, you know, a little torn. She wants to act again. She says something that I can tell you as a professional actor and an acting coach. No successful Broadway actor would ever say. She says, "I love community theater," and decides she wants to go back to community theater. Okay, that's just not, that doesn't ever happen.
No, I didn't think it did.
Nope, never, not once.
I don't have that experience, but it just seemed really weird.
Not once. So that's happening on the side. Okay, for no real reason.
Oh, no. So before we... So she goes into audition for Christmas Carol.
Oh, my God. This is the worst scene ever.
She sits down, and 10 seconds later, someone else gives her a script and says, "It's your turn." She didn't sign in or anything. So mm-hmm. She goes up on stage, flubs everything. And as the director tries to shoo her off, she decides to just start spilling out Romeo and Juliet monologues.
Which we find out earlier she did back in the day.
Right.
So, so she starts doing, by the way, a really terrible job with Juliet's monologue. A monologue I have not only delivered but directed a million times. And I can tell you it was the worst version of it I've ever heard. And yet the person in the audience who's directing was nodding emphatically. And somehow it was okay that she read something that wasn't even appropriate.
No, that was what I said. She reads Romeo and Juliet to audition for Christmas Carol.
And she gets cast.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, wouldn't, right?
Because she loves community theater.
Right, she does. She also says at one point that she has the lead, which the lead of Christmas Carol would be Scrooge. She is Mrs.
Cratchit.
I almost said crack it. Mrs. Cratchit, not a lead. Okay, so that's a side story that's happening. It's important because, of course, Ryan is now in the town and...
not before it's explained that it's now December.
Right, it's now December. He's in the town and he's going to do this contract with Wes, but Wes is putting him through the gamut first. So he's, for no reason that's explained, has told him he needs to come over the house and help him with a cord of wood before he'll consider the contract.
Yep, chop the wood, pack it, and then chop the wood that's in the back.
Yes. So, of course, he's pretending that he can do any of this. And who comes upon him but Krista? And why is she there? Because Christmas trope number 560. By the way, you have seen this one in almost every single episode we've done. And this is the town Christmas party. There's always a town Christmas party. Apparently, Wes throws it. We're never told why, but every year he throws it. What is it? A week before Christmas or 2 weeks before Christmas?
Yeah, it's an ongoing
thing. It was
thing.
An oddly specific time that he does every year.
Because his parents used to do it, I guess. Which I think is another trope.
And they throw it in a huge barn, which of course the flowers have been done by Ashley and Krista. So they're there in attendance. Mm-hmm. And Ryan gets to, of course, come in, and this reignites the whole Ryan Krista thing, and he confesses who he is, and he wasn't really a rancher, which he lied about earlier for no real reason. That whole
no. So at the Christmas party, Krista asks Ryan out on a coffee date because Ryan's the pregnant sister explains that Ryan's a lawyer, a city lawyer, to Krista, and instead of totally flipping out, Krista's like, "Oh, I'll use that to my advantage."
Right, so we know there's going to be a little,
sassy
going back and forth. Right. So He shows up to her house for coffee, and she doesn't mention coffee for a good another 20 minutes because we have to have a musical montage while she has him help her decorate the house, what with him being a rancher and all, right, and used to carrying heavy things.
Yep, my note is, this is the worst coffee date ever.
Yes, yes. And then she finally offers him coffee when he comes clean and says he's not really a rancher. And she's like, ha, 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 I knew that. Ah, ha, ha, sorry I lied. Sorry I lied. And then, like, everything's great. Yep. So they're all good, right? And then they're immediately in love.
Yeah, that was in big letters, love, it's fast.
Right, so immediately in love. They're so much in love that pregnant sister decides to take out a weirdly small, narrow cardboard box that was given to her by her parents before they die, by the way, because everybody's parents are dead.
Yep.
And in it is a sentimental stuffed bunny, which looks brand new, but apparently was their childhood toy, and her grandmother's ring.
Yep.
Like, all in the same box that she just happened to find in the attic. She forgot about it.
No, if Ryan proposes after...
Can't read your own writing.
No. After whatever extremely short time period yeah. this is, and then dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, yeah. So she gives the ring, and she's like, maybe not now, but soon, but I know you love her, and I want you to have this. Totally bizarre. Really bizarre yep. that the ring is in that box that was up in the attic.
Yep.
Weird that the bunny is only briefly referenced and doesn't look like anybody ever right. touched
is,
it ever.
Is this the parents' old house yeah, that the sisters?
There's no explanation nope. at all. So he takes the ring, and then we get to see more musical montages of him and Krista being in love, and then she's going to surprise him.
Yeah, and it should be known there's no fake kiss. The first kiss yeah, is the real kiss.
Yeah, yeah, there is none of that. So... So anyway, we get to the place where the community theater is, and she tells him to wait 10 minutes and then come on in.
Come on in.
So I think it's going to be the show, but then I see on the sandwich board that the show isn't for two weeks. So, yeah. So I'm like, what is happening? Somehow she has access to this theater that she's only just auditioned for.
Right.
And access to the costumes, which I can also tell you as a professional actor, you would never have access to when nobody else is around. He walks into the theater and she comes out on the stage in her costume, just her. It's a bit, the theater's empty. It's like, surprise, I'm the lead in Christmas Carol, which not true.
And I want you to be here front row opening night.
Yes, to see the real me. Well, I don't know if you guys have been tracking this, but of course, now he's worried she's just like all the other actresses that just want him for what he can do. And he storms out.
Yep. So my note for this part, fuck Ryan. He's a shithead. Even in the realm of cheesy rom-com Christmas mm-hmm. movies, Ryan is the fucking worst.
He really is.
Because that blow up just was...
It was...
There was no reason
Yeah,
for
just
it.
Made him mean and shitty. So he goes back to his LA life and she's back to her small town life. And we've got lots of sad gazing at the picture that we yep. saw earlier.
Meanwhile... Wes's kid Max just randomly has access to a cell phone and is calling Ashley.
Oh, well, they bonded at the party. They bonded. Because... I don't know if you missed that. They bonded over punch at
oh, right,
that
the
Christmas party.
Yep. The conversation was, hey, you like punch, right? Yes.
It's fruity and fizzy.
Oh, you should also date my dad.
Well, all right. That's a little exaggeration. He basically said, you should come and help me film my dad because he's got a new song.
Oh, right.
So that must be why they exchanged numbers, okay. although that's never explained.
Right.
So they're connecting, and I really feel like the rest of the details don't matter,
no.
except that Ryan comes back out and...
The baby gets born.
The baby gets born, so that's why he's coming back out, right? And, of course, it's all going to culminate with the performance, because...
Yep, the sister's husband has a Santa suit that's just...
Right. And
sitting
he,
there.
And Ryan's sitting there in the house going, he went from hating her to suddenly being like, I need to do a big gesture to get her back. He literally says that. So typically that's implied in a Christmas
yep.
thing. Like, well, he's going to make a big gesture. He literally said, I need to make a big gesture. Then he spots the Santa suit. So we know the big gesture is going to involve the Santa suit.
Yep.
And we're like, what is he going to do?
What possibly could he do?
What could he do? He could do the most horrendously, like, would have ended up putting you in jail thing ever.
As I was watching, I was like, if Deirdre, the director, would have a shotgun.
I would, if I was directing this version of The Christmas Carol, I would have killed everyone. And that's because in the big scene where Scrooge goes to the Cratchit's house. He knocks on the door. They let in Scrooge. And then there's another knock that nobody's expecting. But ever the professional, Krista's like, ooh.
It's quite the improv work.
Somebody else has come to our door on this Christmas day and lets in.
Santa.
Because that makes a lot of sense. And Santa basically announces he wants something for Christmas. And the kids are like, yay, Santa. And then he traumatizes them by ripping his beard and hat off. She didn't know it was him until he did that. I don't know how that's possible. And gets down on one knee and proposes.
Yep. Fucking proposals.
Fucking proposals. And everybody applauds because, you know, that's what we do. And then the show is over and everybody just wanders away as if that was a normal thing to happen.
Yep. Yeah. That's, they applaud and walk right, away. They just, right. Like, wow, that was quite the show.
Right. And just because we need to wrap things up, her sister, Ashley, and Wes hook up right there in the audience.
Oh, with help of Max,
who Hope takes her two hands and connects them. And he confesses he's always had a crush on her. And now they're going to be together.
And then Krista and Ryan walk up and the four of them just are standing
right
together and, right, awkwardly.
And it looks like maybe they're going to have a gangbang or something. Like, it looks creepy and weird.
Yep.
And that's pretty much
credits roll.
Yeah, that's pretty much the end of it. And I would like at this point for you to say what you had written as your final sentence about this movie.
So, Hometown Holiday, if you watch this movie on mute, the story you get is that it's a movie about two separate gay couples that become straight through the power of determination of a child.
Mm. Yep, that's exactly what it looks like with no sound.
Because we were hinting at the sister relationship, plus at the beginning, which we didn't really touch upon, when Wes and Ryan first meet, Ryan looks longingly at him.
Yeah, there's a longing.
And when he's slow dancing with Krista, he looks back over at Wes.
And there are two very beautiful men.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So it's the most forgettable movie I think I've ever seen.
So we did Snowbound for Christmas or Snowbound for the holidays.
Yeah, this is even lamer than that.
You think so?
I think it's lamer than that. I think the exposition, it's similar. They reminded me of each other. The exposition is so bizarre. It's as if somebody wrote a framework of what a cheesy Christmas special is, and then they all just recited it.
Yep. That makes sense. So what would you rate it?
A -5.
-5. So what I liked about this that Snowbound for Christmas didn't have, so Ryan's assistant, I really liked her character. She was a bit witty.
Yeah.
I mean, even though she was there for 5 minutes total.
Yeah.
And I liked the pregnant sister and the husband.
I did like the pregnant sister.
Their dynamic was pretty good. Whereas Snowbound for Christmas didn't have any.
Yeah. I also liked the outfit the pregnant sister wore to the party. I thought it looked really good. Yeah.
So with that being said, I think I gave Snowbound for Christmas like a negative number. I would give this one a 1.
Oh, well, everybody rush right out and see this. If you do, my last thoughts on this is spike your fucking eggnog.
Yeah.